welcome to another episode of the Banking Matters Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Mattson, and joining me today is John Waldman. John is co-founder and president of SBS Cybersecurity and the SBS Institute. Over the past 20 years, John has helped hundreds of organizations identify and understand cybersecurity risks, allowing them to make better and more informed business decisions. He's passionate about cybersecurity training and education, which led him to be a driving force in the development of the SBS Institute. The Institute is designed to serve the banking industry and provides industry-specific cyber education. It's actually grown to include 10 certification courses and holds state association partnerships in 30 states. John maintains certification, including CISA, CRISC, and CDPSE. He also has a Bachelor's of Science in Computer Information Systems and a Master of Science in Information Assurance, with an emphasis in banking and finance security from Dakota State University. John, welcome. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on the podcast, Amanda. I am pumped to be here.
Great. So cybersecurity, we're very excited because it's a hot topic in financial institutions, and the threat just kind of continues to grow as AI and other technologies continue to advance. So hope we can chat a little bit about today about your feelings on the biggest threats to banks and, you know, how we can kind of overcome some of those.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. It has been a big topic for a while. We've been doing this whole cybersecurity thing for 20 years now, which is pretty crazy to even say out loud. Some days it feels like all of 20 years, and some days I didn't think that I could be doing anything for 20 years. But it is, it's definitely something that affects all organizations, banks especially included. I was actually just talking with a group of technology and cybersecurity folks from kind of the whole state of South Dakota this morning, what we call the Cybersecurity Council, and they asked me to talk about vendor management, which is another big issue for banks. And so it's, you know, most of those folks aren't even in regulated industries, but they're getting more concerned about things like supply chain and vendor issues. And some of them are more physical related than otherwise, but there's a big element of cybersecurity related to vendor management and the business partners that we choose, the third parties, the service providers, those types of things. So, take your question, kind of macro, big picture threats. One of the biggest hot topics today is obviously AI, and that integrates into the world of cybersecurity. So we'll take a look at it from that lens here real quick, and then maybe even go more broad if you want to talk a little bit more about, how we feel about AI. But from specifically a cybersecurity perspective, AI is changing the game. Mm-hmm. In particularly, we used to be able to filter a pretty significant percentage of junk out of the way just because it was coming from a source where perhaps English was not the first language, right? Mm-hmm. So you get a phishing email, you get a phone call, and you could tell that this person was not with the IRS, nor were they having a good reason to ask you to buy iTunes gift cards, as an example, right? Those scams still exist, and they actually target certain folks because that's their demographic. Their target market, if you look at it from a business perspective, are folks that are not going to ask questions. So they don't really care if you hang up. They might swear at you for fun, but they don't really, if you are suspicious, then you're not their target. They want folks that are more gullible and more naive.
Sure.
But folks that are targeting organizations before, you might have a questionable email, as an example. Now that email is going to be written to sound exactly like somebody in your industry, somebody maybe even from your organization. It might even take on the voice, literally or metaphorically, of your president or CEO or chief financial officer, whatever the case is, because AI has brought to us, generative AI in particular, the ability to generate content that is much more human believable than ever before instantly. And that could be email, that could be building a website, that could be doing a deep fake, that could be just straight voice cloning. We've been playing with all of those things quite a bit recently for good reasons and for not, you know, and for testing purposes from that perspective. So that's the big macro picture when it comes to AI is it's changing the game from both from an attack perspective and from a defend perspective, because we also have the ability to leverage AI to detect things that we weren't able to detect before, to detect them faster. And now with agentic AI becoming more of a focus and a realistic thing where AI isn't just generating stuff and saying, here, check this out. It's saying, here, check this out. Do you want us to do something about it? Do you want me to do something about it? Whether it's, you know, publishing a blog post on LinkedIn or patching a vulnerability on a network, agentic AI is taking that next step and bridging that gap by saying, hey, we can do some of the things that we're just talking about. So we have the ability to leverage AI from a cybersecurity defensive perspective, just as well as bad guys have it on an attack perspective. So we've got to be able to keep up. That's really the big picture there.
Right. And that's something that I see kind of in discussions with different levels of, you know, management and operations folks from different financial institutions is some have more of a fear of AI. Others are thinking we can use it to our advantage. So I guess I kind of gather that your take on it would be use it to your advantage if at all possible. And then you go back to that third party risk area. So any advice on that?
Yeah, great questions. And we're, you know, I mean, we're on the Banking Matters podcast, so we're talking to bankers, and it's just kind of funny, given our experience 20 years ago, do you know what we were talking about from a technology perspective? We were talking about banks being real concerned that they were getting asked to take their customer information and put it on the internet for their customers to access. They're like, whoa, this online banking thing, really scary.
Yes.
But we did it. And then 2 years later, they wanted us to do it on our phones. And banks said, you want people, our customers, to access their stuff on their phones? That's also really scary. And then we did it. And then it was peer-to-peer. And then it was B2B. And then it was Venmo and Zelle and PayPal and, you know, FinTech and all of the things. So that's kind of that underlying message. You know, SBS, we are a technology enabler through risk management. That's kind of our whole goal, right? Help our organizations, help our clients really understand risk, the risk around the technologies that they're using, and remember that there's always a way to manage and mitigate the risk. It was scary when we were doing online banking, and it was scary when we were doing mobile banking. But it's technology, it's a tool to help us serve our clients, our customers. So there's ways to mitigate and manage that risk in all cases. So it's okay to be nervous and concerned about it. And we're in a heavily regulated industry, so there's a good reason to be concerned and not to just jump at every chance to do a new thing. But remember, there's always a way to manage the risk. AI is here to stay. It is not a fad, just like the internet wasn't a fad 30 years ago, just like social media wasn't a fad, just like online banking and all of these other things. They're not fads. They are the next generation of how we are going to interact with our customers, especially with AI, and the next generation of how we manage risk at our organization. So that's our perspective. It's a tool. We got to learn how to use it because it's not going away. We'd have to use it both from an organizational efficiency perspective and a cybersecurity perspective. And we got to talk to our people about it because it's not going away. But there are risks with it. So we need to look at and manage a lot of those risks.
Do you feel like sometimes banks maybe are using AI without really knowing it because it's not glaring in their face? One of those things that comes to mind to me is always when there's a chat on the website, that kind of information, and there is customer information going through that. I mean, I guess what is your take on you might be already using it without realizing it?
Definitely. If you're a Microsoft shop, which 99.7% of the banks that I've ever worked with are Microsoft shops, then you're using AI. You've got a phone, you're using AI. If you use social media, you're using AI. AI is everywhere. It is generative AI is more of a new thing. And banks are, there are some banks that are using it and some banks that aren't. And that's a different story. But AI, robotic process automation, you know, machine learning, we've been using that in banking for 15 years with fraud stuff, with cybersecurity stuff. So we've been using it all over the place. It's just, it's not branded as AI like generative AI is today. So it's a difference between ChatGPT and Microsoft Copilot and Google Gemini and Perplexity and, you know, some of these other creative generative AI models and what we've used before. But you're right about organizations using chatbots as an example. Yes, there is AI built into that. We've got to ask our vendors what they're doing with AI with as it relates to the products and services that we're using today. We're you know, I mentioned I was just talking about vendor management. That's a big element of that today, is talking to your vendors about what they're doing with AI. Are they building it in to your products and services if they haven't already, which more than likely they have? And if so, like, how do you handle that? Can you opt in? Can you opt out? You know, what models are they using? What are they doing with the data? Are they training on your data? Who owns that data? All of those types of things. A lot of similar vendor management questions that we've asked before, but there is a whole new layer and element of vendor management as it relates to AI, as you alluded to earlier.
And that's another question I have. Vendor management is, of course, always another hot topic. And when it comes to agreements with certain software providers, or like you say, Microsoft or whoever it might be, are they starting to build things in that banks should be paying more attention to, you know, I guess as far as liabilities, or I guess what have you seen, or do you have any examples of, you know, have you looked at that kind of thing for different banks?
Yes. A great example is the difference between something like Microsoft Copilot and DeepSeek. Since we're kind of on the AI kick and the vendor management kick, you've, I'm sure, heard of DeepSeek, which is this ultra cheap, ultra fast AI model, generative AI model from China. Well, if you look at what the contracts state and the terms and conditions, it actually allows, you know, I can't remember the name of the organization behind DeepSeek, but it allows that Chinese company to access information that you would be shocked that they're requesting from any device that touches the, you know, where you're using DeepSeek, right? So it's not just who, you know, the typical things. And we've been giving our information away for 15 years since social media came out. Remember, if you're not paying for it, you are paying for it. You are the product, not the software, right? Mm-hmm. So the company is using your data, like Google or Facebook, Meta, you know, whatever you want to call it, Instagram, any of the social platforms. If you're not paying for it, you are with your data, not with your money. Right. So, you know, if you got DeepSeek on your phone, or if you leverage DeepSeek on a laptop, or hopefully not a work computer as an example, because there's a massive risk in that. It's gathering not just, you know, your user ID and what you're inputting into the model, but any information that I can collect around the device that you're using and in fingerprinting that device. So make, model, what's it registered to? What's the IP address? What network is it connected to? What's the Wi-Fi, you know, not password, but the Wi-Fi SSID, you know, like what's happening? What other devices are on this network? So it could be you start talking like that, and you start talking like my hacker team, our network security engineers, and what they're doing to probe a network, right? So it's pretty concerning the type of information that's gathering. Versus if you look at Microsoft Copilot as an example, most organizations, as we just talked about, are probably Microsoft shops already, and they already trust Microsoft. To what extent? And, you know, maybe that is Forced trust from that perspective, not sure, but you do. You have documentation. You trust them with your email. You trust them with your files. You're familiar with them. You have agreements, written agreements with them. And Microsoft is pretty transparent. This is not a commercial for Microsoft or saying Microsoft is infallible. They're not. But they're pretty transparent with what they do, what their privacy and security models are around Copilot, the ability to flip between the work and the web version and the permissioning that happens there, the logging and monitoring that occurs. We're going to be doing a webinar on how to deploy Copilot for financial institutions here coming up in a couple months for that very reason, because a lot of our clients are saying, hey, what do we do about this? Because Microsoft is tenacious about, you know, getting us to use Copilot. And it's built into every product they have. It's built into Teams and Word and Excel and PowerPoint and OneDrive and everywhere.
It's built into my keyboard that I just received. There's a button.
There's a button now for on new Microsoft devices. You're 100% right.
Yes. So I guess as far as banks look to reviews and audits and, you know, IT security and even, you know, business continuity plans, are you addressing them and saying, you know, we should beef this up, we should do more testing, we should do, you know, specifics? Are examiners or regulators looking to see that kind of wording or that kind of testing at this point, or is that too new?
Well, that's a great question, because the regulatory space is in a lot of turmoil right now, especially from exams. And a lot of that has been on hold since November. You know, there's things that we were expecting to be updated or come out that are on hold, perhaps indefinitely. They might not ever get updated from that perspective now. But there is new regulation that is needed and required. The FFIEC AIO, which is Architecture, Infrastructure, and Operations booklet, touches on AI and touches on some of these modern technologies, but our regulatory landscape right now is not what I would call extremely modern. So, I mean, there's discussions that are happening in the marketplace through FSISAC, through other areas, through information sharing groups. But I think it really comes down to the process involved if you're using modern technologies. It's going to be similar if you are a banking as a service or a fintech type organization, institution from that perspective, right? You know, like, how are you going about doing this? You know, we saw from a banking as a service in a fintech space, all of these BSA, AML, issues that came up over the last years. I'm just trying to think of the right term for the letters that were flying around. But, you know, so there's nobody saying don't do it. They're saying, hey, look at the process. Make sure that you really understand the risk associated and that you're being compliant with the right rules and regulations around this stuff. In the banking space, there are no rules and regulations around the use of AI. But we do have good processes for doing risk management, right? What does your IT risk assessment say? What does your vendor risk assessment and your vendor management processes say? What do your business continuity processes say? The more reliant that you get on some of these things, the more risk is exposed, your organization's exposed to from a potential downside perspective. So know who you're doing business with, know what they're saying, know what the risks are, and be able to manage them accordingly.
John, any final thoughts on kind of what a bank can do as things keep changing, regulations keep changing? You know, are there certain partnerships they should be having? Is it more of a, we need somebody on staff now to be handling this? You know, what are your recommendations? What should banks be doing to kind of not only protect themselves, but also, you know, this is a convenience, right? You want to be able to offer your customer services without, you know, obviously putting them at risk.
Right. And that's a wonderful and important conversation to have. A couple key messages, a couple key things to think about that we like to remind our banks of is, number one, it's a consumer-centric market today, right? So you've got to be able to provide the products and services that your customers are looking for, because anybody can go sign up for a new bank account anywhere else in 10 minutes, tops, max. Right. Yeah. So if we're starting to see a lot of movement towards being a real niche player, you know, instead of trying to be the bank for everybody, you know, and competing with a Wells Fargo or a Chase or a Bank of America. We're like, all right, well, here's our target market, right? Here's our audience. Here's who we're going after, those types of things. And that's helping folks differentiate themselves a little bit. We're even seeing some banks and brands create alternative digital brands to say, hey, you know, this is who we are, but here's a digital brand that's serving a very small, specific, you know, type of folks. But with technology, it's technology forward. And that's really the big key message there is, remember, as a financial institution, you are a technology company, right? We view ourselves as old school brick and mortar banks, but really we're technology companies today. And when you start making that mindset shift a little bit and you say, hey, well, we're a technology company that does banking in order to serve our customers, you start putting a little bit more emphasis on the importance of that technology rather than just being a bank, right? And so that's kind of the big shift there. You're starting to see a younger generation take leadership, more active leadership roles. And by younger generation, I mean, you know, even younger than me, but folks that have grown up with technology. And you're starting to see change at the board of directors level, folks getting asked to join boards of directors that have technology experience and background, because that is an important voice to have at the table to understand the stuff, at least on the macro. And remember, you know, like that's the idea is to serve the customer, right? So how do we best serve the customer through the use of technology, and how do we keep that safe? Because I would argue that having good cybersecurity is the best customer service that you could have. Not losing your customers' data, not being exposed to a breach, saves you money and saves your customers money.
Absolutely. John, I appreciate it very much. Thank you. I know you're a busy man, so thanks for taking the time out of your day to chat with us and give us a little bit of insight on all of these changes that are happening in the world of technology as they continue. It never stops.
Absolutely. And if there's anything that we could do to help anybody, you know, be some of that expert, provide some of that expertise, you know, that's our go-to. So we're more than happy to help.
Excellent. Thank you so much. That concludes.
Thanks for having me on, Meta.
That concludes this episode of our Banking Matters podcast, John. Thank you so much. And please tune in again next time.